Our first reading this morning is from Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, the coming messenger. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years. The second reading is Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. Paul's prayer for the Philippians. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart, for all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness. How I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. So ends the reading.
I invite you now to stand for the gospel. Reading from the Holy Gospel of Luke, the third chapter, verses 3 through 17. He, that is John the Baptist, went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked John, what then should we do? In reply, he said to them, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, teacher, what should we do? He said to them, collect no more than the amount prescribed for you. Soldiers also asked him, and we, what should we do? He said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. This is the good news.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If I were to ask you for a show of hands, how many of you like change? I think not loose change, but a kind of change, like COVID change. I think few of you would raise your hands. Just think how often we curse change. It could be, I think, because in our modern world, everything changes so, so fast and so often. It seems like you and I, we can hardly stand one more change. But we dread change sometimes too, because it is inconvenient to us, right? We have to do things differently, learn new tricks. I suspect that is one of the reasons congregations usually dislike it when a new hymnal comes out. We have to learn new songs, new pages, new ways. But then too, change means we have to give up things we have treasured, the old and the familiar. Of course, some change seems so senseless, like it really didn't make any difference. One favorite story is the good news, bad news joke, in which the sergeant arrives on the front lines after the GIs have been weeks in the mud of foxholes. He says, "Guys, I've got good news for you. We will have a change of underwear. The bad news is that Smith will change with Peterson. Peterson will change with Schultz." Yes, there is change like that. It gets us nowhere, so why do it? But this holy season of Advent, in particular today in our scriptures, we dare to speak of the gift of change. Afraid of change as we might be, resistant to change as we often are, the gospel calls us to look on change as a gift. Ever think of change as a gift? That is what John the Baptist offered the people and what the Word of God continues to offer you and me, the gift of change. There we see John on the scene just before the start of Jesus' earthly ministry, and what he is doing, but offering, even calling for, change. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now what is that but the offer of the gift of change? For to repent is to make a change. Are you familiar with the Greek word for repentance? It is metanoia. It means to turn around, really to about face in order to change. And such a change is a gift from God. It is a gift because without the change in our hearts and lives called repentance, we are forever, aren't we, locked up in ourselves and our deadly ways. Robert Maurer, a Christian psychologist, rightly says that we cannot grow or make a personal change unless or until we acknowledge our wrong, our sin. Those who have struggled with the disease of alcoholism know how true this is. The very first step of AA is to admit one's powerlessness over alcohol and the fact that life has become unmanageable. Without the critical first step, there can be no real healing. We may not like to think of ourselves in those terms, but the fact is, You and I, we all have a deadly disease. It is called sin, which really means missing the mark or our separation from God. Sin is trying to live as though we are God. It is trying to live, therefore, without letting God have any influence or any real power, place, or control in my life. Sin is simply to organize life around me with me in the center. Again, who of us ever wants to admit that? Who of us ever wants to admit that? But our very denial is part of the problem, for only God or Christ is without sin. Not that we are bad people. We make our comparisons, don't we? It is not a measuring of our level of goodness. We do not intentionally try to do harm to ourselves or others, but our sin is there just the same. Yes, it often comes in small and subtle ways. It is this bit of gossip. It is that failure to notice a need. It is that callous word at the checkout. The time we agreed that world hunger is really due to the laziness of them, the prejudice or the jealous moment. The list could go on and on for us, for our subtle sins are endless, and we finally even deceive ourselves. But thanks be to God, we don't need to be trapped in that deceit. In the continual call to repentance, which we hear this Advent season, we are blessed, you and I, with the possibility of change. We can turn away from the dark and move toward the light. For most, the turn is gradual and ongoing. For some, it is rather dramatic and sudden. But for all those who hear God's word and repents, turns around, there is given the gift of change. The emergence of John the Baptist was like the sudden sounding of the voice of God. At this time, the Jewish people were sadly conscious that the voice of the prophets spoke no more. They said that for 400 years there had been no prophet. 400 years. The voice of prophecy had been silent, but in John, the prophetic voice to change spoke again. What were the characteristics of John and his message? First of all, John fearlessly denounced evil wherever he might find it. If Herod the king sinned by contracting an evil or unlawful marriage, John rebuked him. If the Sadducees and Pharisees, the religious leaders, were sunk in ritualistic formalism, John spoke up. Get it right, Fennell. John spoke up. If the common folk were not living lives under God, John said so. Wherever John saw evil, in the state, in the religious community, in the crowd, rebuke was given. He was like a light which lit up the dark places. He was like wind which swept from God throughout the countryside. It was said of a famous journalist who was great but who never quite fulfilled the work he might have done, he was perhaps not easily enough disturbed, it was said of him. There is still a place in the Christian message for warning and denunciation. The truth, said Diogenes, is like the light to sore eyes. He who never offended anyone, he said, never did anyone any good. Secondly, John urgently summoned the people to righteousness, to the right relationship with God. That's what righteousness means, a relationship with God, a restored relationship. John's message was not a mere negative denunciation. It was a positive raising of the moral standards of God. His was not only a message of rebuke, but edification, upbuilding of the community. Thirdly, John came from God. He came out of the desert, where he had done extensive and deep training for his mission, I think. He came not with an opinion of his own, but with a message from God. Before he opened his mouth before the people, he had conversed with God. the preacher, the teacher, the prophetic voice, all are most effective when they have been in conversation with the Lord. Lastly, John pointed beyond himself, The man was not only a light to illumine evil, a voice to rebuke sin, he was also a signpost to God. It was not himself he wished people to see, he desired for others to see that one who was to come, the Messiah, the Christ of God. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Why with fire? Fire illumines, fire brings warmth, but fire purifies. Yes, the mission of John the Baptist was to offer the gift of change so that the one who came to save could make all things new. Wallace Ford tells a powerful story of the gift of change that came to one person but was missed by others. Listen to this story. Once upon a time, great stories start with that. Once upon a time, there was a land where the whole community lived under one big glass dome. Four centuries had been born, lived, and died under the glass dome. And the story that passed down from generation to generation was that if you ever did step outside of the dome, you would surely die. So no one had ever dared to step outside. But being human, the community decided that there was one punishment for one particularly horrible crime, and the punishment would be banishment outside the dome, which would be certain death. Well, one day, to the community's horror, a man had committed that very crime. The punishment was swift. The whole community escorted this one to the edge of the glass dome and pushed him out into the world beyond. And then, of course, they all pressed their noses to the glass wall to watch the man die. At first, the man laid on the ground, face down, shivering in his fear of how death would come to him. His muscles were all clenched at that moment. But nothing happened. After a bit, he rolled over and looked around, and then he began to dance softly in the green, soft green grass. Soon he was jumping up and down and shouted joyously to the puzzled onlookers from inside the dome. Come out and dance with me, he said. The people were filled with such confusion and stress over what they saw that they got buckets of black paint and paintbrushes. They started at the bottom of the walls and painted them solid black, up just as high as they could reach, high enough so that they could no longer see this man dancing. And then they all breathed a sigh of relief and went back to just the way things had been before that day. They missed the opportunity to change, to become new in the dance of life. My friends, today and every day, God calls us out of grace and love, inviting us to change our sinful ways, to come on outside and dance. It is the invitation to repent, to let God's love make changes in our lives. Let us pray. O Lord of the dance, call to each of us to make inventory of our lives, to see what has to go, in order that we might be faithful to you in this walk of faith. Rebuke us where we need rebuking, and shape us into those who live in the light of your presence. Through Christ, the Prince of Peace, we pray. Let all the people say, Amen.